Book of 2 Timothy chapter 3. Paul has been instructing Timothy about being a good teacher, a good soldier, a good husbandman, diligent workman, sanctified vessel, and a gentle servant. Now he's going to warn him about some things that are coming up. And if it was true in that day, then it's certainly very true today, that there is a coming apostasy and an existing apostasy today. We live in a time whenever I suppose we've grown complacent with regard to the things of God. And we fail to realize that error is still error, regardless of what generation that it's in. We've come to the place, tragically, I think, in our day, whenever we say, well, as long as it's fairly close, that's good. But it's not really good enough. Paul warns Timothy that there is a coming apostasy. He then will state the reason why that will be true. And he'll give us some characteristics of the false religion as it is presented. Now, we're not going to cover all of the subject tonight. We're only going to look at the first seven verses of 2 Timothy chapter 3. So let's read verses 1 through 7, and then we'll come back and deal with it. It said, this know also, or in relation to everything else that's been said, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth-breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Well, we notice in our text, first of all, that this is not something that just might happen, but he said this, know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. It's not a maybe situation, but it's a reality. They shall come. Paul said to Timothy in the last days that it would be true. And if we ever were in the last days, and every generation seems to think that they are, of course, but we are in the last days. There are just too many things that are telling us that we are in the last days. First of all, we see society after society characterized by the very description that Paul gives here in this text. The second thing is, we're seeing the natural phenomenon occur that the Lord said would be the evidence or the beginning of sorrows. There's great concern arising again about Mount St. Helens out here in Washington State. There's some of the most devastating storms and destructive storms that we've known that have hit our own country as well as other countries, and massive loss of life and destruction of property. And the Lord said that there would be a natural phenomenon. The earth would groan and travail in pain together unto that day. We don't fully understand nor appreciate, I suppose, inanimate creation, but I want you to know that I'm persuaded that the inanimate creation knows its creator. And this old earth knows that it's been troubled by sin and is crying out for the coming again of our Lord Jesus Christ. By the earthquakes, by the volcanic action, and there's a couple of three explanations to that, but we'll not get into that tonight. I do want you to know that we are in the last days, and Paul said, this know also. In light of what you ought to be doing, know this, be warned, that there will be perilous times, that there will be those that, because of their lifestyle, because of their temperaments, because of what they are and who they are, that being a Christian could become very dangerous. Perilous times. That's the idea of the perilous times. They're dangerous times. And we often step back and we think it can't happen in the United States of America, but it can. Is it happened in past societies, and it can happen in ours. You might be surprised how quickly that the Christians could become the scapegoat and the fault with all and the cause of all the ills of society. It's been advocated already. Men with their learned minds have said that society is encumbered today and inhibited because of their religion. Well, the truth of the matter is that I was set free by the blood of Jesus Christ. Not inhibited, not bound by the blood of Jesus Christ, but set free. I was bound by sin, just as you were bound by sin. But now, we've been set free, but the mentality will be that the Christian is the problem. If we can get rid of fundamental Christians, I'm talking about real fundamental Christians. I'm not talking about what is termed fundamentalism today, because there are some of them that are really off the wall today. You see, Jim Jones was considered a fundamentalist. The fellow David Koresh up here in Waco was considered a fundamentalist. And they're not what the Bible describes or society ought to understand as a fundamentalist. Fundamentalist is one who believes this book and doesn't practice occultism. And so we do say tonight that perilous times shall come, be warned. And they'll come because of the condition of the unsaved men of this world in verses 1 through 4. The Bible said here that men shall be lovers of their own selves. And if there was ever any one description that fits our society today, it is men loving themselves. In view of the fact of all the opportunities of benevolence, opportunities to serve mankind today, men are lovers of self. And it does characterize our society. And he said they'll be covetous. And most of this does not take a lot of explanation. You've seen covetousness in practice in an early age. Two little children in a room, and a room full of toys, but one toy and one set of hands and the other crying, mine, mine. And you've witnessed covetousness, and it gets more horrifying as it matures and becomes manhood, as one standing and saying, mine, mine. It is no longer a toy, but it may involve property. It may involve millions of dollars. It may involve even the very rule of government in a country. If one is saying, mine. There's a fellow down in Cuba that's lived a long time, and he's saying, mine, mine. And he's advocated and practiced socialism to its failure year after year after year. But nonetheless, Castro is an evident man who is covetous and said, mine, mine, and not giving the people at all a say. Some would tolerate him today, but when you go back, and I've lived long enough to meet some of the people that had to flee that country. I'm talking about professional men that were capable men, educated men, and they fled for their lives, leaving everything that they had just to get away from him, else they'd be executed. And so you see covetousness as it broadens out into society. And he goes on just to name character after character, boasters, proud, blasphemers. There was a time when men would be very careful how that they would try to present their unbelief. But now they blatantly declare atheism as a way of life and a desirable way of life. I wish they could talk to Murray Madeline O'Hara for a moment or two. You see, she's in hell today. And she, like the rich man, would say, tell them not to come here. But nonetheless, we see it as they're blasphemers, disobedient to parents. We always, as preachers, like to get on this one, I suppose, and as parents. But there is an ill in our society. There needs to be a recognition of structured authority in the economy of God. And God put parents in the home not to trouble the teenagers or to trouble the children, but to be an assistance to the children, to be a guide to the children, to be teachers of the children so that they might grow up and mature into something that would be beneficial in our society. So he goes on to name these things. He's saying this is a reason why there'll be perilous times, because all of these things lead away from God. They do not lead to God. In fact, the one where it's disobedient to parents, that's a direct violation of an Old Testament declaration that has come forward into the New Testament. You can read it in the book of Ephesians chapter 6. And the Bible teaches that if there was respect and regard for parental authority, honoring father and mother, that a child could expect to live long on the earth. And yet we hear day after day of young people that are dying in car wrecks or and other things are claiming their lives, even to the point of suicide. I think suicide is, what, the second killer among teens today. The unsaved man, it's all for self. There is no natural affection according to the Word of God. Without natural affection, that means that we'd rather have a dog than a baby. Tell you what, I wouldn't take for my children, my grandchildren, my great-grandchildren. Now, they're precious to me. But do you realize today that there are people that don't even think in those terms, that that would be absolutely a burden and a distress in their lives? Oh, there might be distress more if that's distress. But without natural affection, and we see that we're told that they are truth-breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. Now we get down to the heart of the matter as we see society as it progresses. And we see the condition of the unsaved world as it comes down then to hate those who might represent God in a clear and decisive fashion. They love pleasure more than they love God. And so the story unfolds for us. Paul said to Timothy, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. And they'll come because of the attitude of men. The Bible said in our text that they'd have a form of godliness. All they will present themselves as very religious with some measure of conviction. They'll be pretentious, but it'll not have power. And it's not any wonder today that the churches are powerless, because they're filled with people who have a form of godliness but deny the power. And the power really that's needed is the power of redemption, of salvation through the blood of Jesus Christ. You'll be surprised what a good old-fashioned case of salvation will do for folks. It'll cause folks to want to go tell the story. Reach that loved one. Tell mom and dad, son and daughter, brother and sister, friend and neighbor. Just a good case of salvation will do a lot for people today. But they'll have a form of godliness, be pretentious and have no power. And Paul said, from such, turn away. Timothy, don't get involved. I'll sound like I'm very isolationist and mean, but I'm not. I'm not ecumenical. I'm not even close to being ecumenical. Another preacher and I were talking the other day about this. I can't imagine having a Jewish rabbi stand in this pulpit. I can't imagine having a Catholic priest stand in this pulpit. Now, they'd be welcome in the services. I'd like to preach to them. But it's a different story when it comes to this pulpit, because I want truth advocated from this pulpit. And we're not ecumenical. And I've not ever really been invited to any of the ecumenical services, and and I just assume not be. That saves any conflict. It's a compliment to me that they know that. And I'm not boasting that. Just simply, Paul said, turn away. Don't get involved. Now, false religion will be characterized by a couple of things. First of all, that would be immorality. And we see it in verse 6. And then in verse 7, there'll be no truth. There'll be no truth. Do you realize, tragically, that there are people that were born into a family and attended a church all of their lives and have never heard the truth of Jesus Christ in His saving grace? Oh, they've heard a lot of stories. They've heard a lot of philosophy. And they have had a lot of psychology practiced in their pulpits. But they've never heard the truth of redemption through the blood of Jesus Christ. And so there is no truth. They're ever learning. Never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. How did you come to the knowledge of the truth? Because some old-fashioned preacher stood with tenacity and read from this book as Philip did over in the book of Acts and began at the same scripture and preached unto that Ethiopian eunuch, Jesus Christ. And that man stood and preached, and the Spirit of God moved upon your heart. And that which he was presenting as truth became truth to you as you realized how guilty you were before God and that the only hope you had was in Jesus Christ, and you cast your all upon Him. Never learning, never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. If you're saved tonight, be very thankful that there was a time in your life whenever this truth became real to you and the truth set you free.